Am I on the air? Broadcasting live on Channel 5. All right. Turn your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Thank you, Suzanne, for singing that song. Oh, it's a good song. And I wondered a lot of times why God just keeps loving me. Whenever we talk about loving the unlovely, thank God that He does. Amen. We have a hard time doing that, but man, He does not have a hard time loving the unlovely, because all of us in here are unlovely. And we don't measure up when we compare ourselves to what He did and who He was and who He still is. All right, let's pray. Hunter Sullivan, would you pray for me? Do that, brother. Amen. All right, Colossians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 6 through 10. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. The King James says vain deceit. According to the traditions of men. According to the basic principles of the world. And not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him who is the head of all principalities and powers. And what does it mean to be rooted and built up in Him? Believers, if we're going to make the journey, this thing of being a Christian, I think, David, it's a journey that we have a starting place, and that starting place is where we had an encounter with Christ, and we call it getting saved. We call it being born again. That's where our journey with Jesus starts. But He says, be rooted and grounded and settled. That don't happen the first day. And that's where we get in trouble as believers. That was the easy part because Christ did all the work to get us saved. But we have to do some work to be rooted, grounded, and settled. That means it takes effort on us. It means that we burn the oil of the lamp reading His Word. And understanding it, praying over it. The Bible talks about reading His Word and then meditating on His Word. Just reading through gives you an idea of the Scriptures and the hint of the direction He's going. But meditating on it helps you get the meaning that Christ wants you to have. I do believe that six of us in here could read the same verse on the same day, in the same hour, and we've all got different situations that we're going through. We're all at different levels in Christ. We're all rooted and grounded in some of higher levels than others. But on that certain day, in that certain hour, if we're all reading the same verse, God will speak to us according to the need that's in our life that day. Now, He won't deviate and change the word for us. But I've read the Scripture over and over again. The Scripture I might have read 1,000 times. And then one day I'm reading it, and something new that I hadn't understood, that I had never seen before in those scriptures. And something would jump out of that verse at me, and I said, God, why did I not see that years ago? There's hidden truths in that word that we got to dig to get and to understand it. But the reason God gives us all those, and the reason He wants us to do those things, is so that He can get us rooted and grounded and settled. How do we do that? How do we keep that desire? Do you have a desire for a while just to be, you just can't get enough of God's Word? You just read, and good Lord, I've never seen that. And then one day you don't have that. We've all been there. We just slide by it. We don't read it. And the way that we stay close to God, the way that we get rooted and get grounded, in John 15, let me just read you something there in John chapter 15. It talks about abiding. Let me just read in verse 4. He says, abide in me, John chapter 15. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear much fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Man, he just wears that word abide out right here. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him. There's a relationship here. You abide in him, he abides in you. What is he saying? You're talking to me, you're seeking and you're asking, you're trying to get rooted, grounded and settled. You're asking me stuff, you're trying to understand, you're meditating on it. I'm giving you answers. We got a fellowship going here. We got a communication going here. And he says, for without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, in verse 6, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. And what he's saying there in verse 6 is, he said, they just come to a point that they don't abide in me, and they're not growing, and they're not getting rooted, and they're not getting grounded. And basically what he's saying, whenever you're withered, and the leaves and the fruit falls off, and they're dried, and he says the limbs are just burned. He said, you're just a wasted product. But he says, if we abide in him and let him abide in us, we will flourish. Martha and I, yesterday, we went out. She bought a little old mulberry tree, and she makes me prune it back every year. You keep it like 6 foot tall. And I went out this year, and she didn't have to get on me. I went out and pruned that thing, and it's just loaded down with mulberries. And her and Bree Lynn just goes out there, and they try to beat the jaybirds and the redbirds and everybody, all the other birds, from eating the berries. I went out there yesterday and I looked, and those things, there's just blackberries all over that tree. I mean, that thing is loaded. And I pruned that thing, and all those branches that I pruned that started leafing out in the spring, I mean, there's red berries, there's blackberries, and not good till they get black. And Martha said, let's go out there and pick those things this afternoon, because when that rain and wind comes through here tomorrow, it's going to blow every one of them off on the ground. So we went out there yesterday and we picked, and all my fingers were purple. And I'd eat a few. I think my teeth were purple. Do you remember kids doing that, getting blackberries, your teeth be purple? And we went out there and we got them, and all of them that was black, we got them and we put them in the pan. And I know when Bree Lynn gets over there, she is going to make haste with those berries. But that berry tree has a root. It's the vine. And I had to manage that tree. I had to take care of that tree. I had to prune that tree. I had to do the things that makes that tree bear fruit. Now listen to me. Most of you people that are here on Sunday night, I love you because you're the fruit bearers of this church. You don't have a lot of fruit bearers in a church. I'm telling you. Say amen. Y'all know that. You don't have a lot of fruit bearers. You come into this place and you do things. Sometimes you do things that you don't want to do, but you do them and you do them as unto the Lord. And you're helping people and you're helping teach and helping with Bible school and you're helping with the praise team and you're helping with the puppets and you're putting up the things and the puppet screen and you're taking it down. All of that's bearing fruit. Fruit bearing is not always fun. And, you know, when I trimmed those limbs off of that tree, I heard it go, ow. I'm lying to you. I didn't hear it do nothing. Put some oil on it. But if that tree could cry out, that tree would say, ooh, that hurts. I seen somebody on Facebook, a girl who graduated, she was snipping, pruning her trees, and that crazy thing pruned her finger. And now she's cut a ligament. She's about to lose a finger. Yeah. And I keep up with her finger, and every once in a while, that probably didn't sound too good. But she has that finger held up. She has that finger held up on and taking a selfie of a finger, and it's got a Band-Aid on it, and it's that, and, you know, she's always showing the picture. I seen one yesterday. We finally got back online after the lightning struck. And I was looking and seeing how her finger was and all that stuff. But I guarantee you, whenever she pruned her finger, she went, ow. Well, if those trees could say anything, it hurts to be pruned. And it hurts to grow. I remember as a kid, and all of y'all that are older like me, do you remember having growing pains? I remember joint my knees and my legs and your joints would hurt as a kid and you hurt in certain places. And I'd go to Mom and I'd say, Mom, I'm hurting. She said, well, son, it's growing pains. And I thought, I hope I hurry up and quit growing because these things are hurting. And my kids did that. Growing pains. Well, in order to get rooted and grounded and settled in God's Word, you got to be willing to endure some growing pains. And your growing pains is going to be some criticism, disappointment, people. People that you put in a lot of time with. You just put hours in with them. And they just walk out of your life. That's one of the greatest pains I have as a pastor and have had as a pastor is when people I invest years of time in, they just walk out of my life. And they walk out without a word. They gone. They in another church or they not in church at all. And I'll call them and they don't answer. And I say, where are you? And I'll call, it's a check. And so they're over here, or they're over there. And I thought, oh, that hurts. It hurts. After all I put in your life, at least you could have the courtesy to say, I'm going. I taught a class here one time on how to leave a church. Remember that? You just don't disappear. And let everybody wonder. You go to your pastor and say, look, the Lord's leading me somewhere else. And can I have your blessings? And I pray that you'll pray for me that where I'm going and where I feel God's leading me, that I want your blessings on my life. You know what the pastor would do? Say, that's the right way to do it. Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you give your blessings on old Saul or whatever her name is or his name is. Lord, you bless him in their new adventure, and Lord, in their new church, Lord, I just pray that, Lord, that they would fit in, and Lord, that they would help serve in that church, and Lord, I pray that you would just bless them real good. That's the way it ought to be done. That's the way it should be done. And if it's done any other way, I don't think you'll ever have a complete peace. Now, don't go back and tell your pastor, I just hate your guts and you're the sorriest pastor in town. And that just don't help him any. But just go back and be, just say, look, the Lord's, you don't have to give all the naughty details of why you're leaving. Just go back. Don't hurt nobody when you go. Just go back and say, look, the Lord's leading me. And I just want your blessings. That's all you got to do. And you don't have to give any details. And see, if you'll do that, that helps you to grow. That helps you to get rooted. That helps you to get settled. And we make sure that we're standing on a solid foundation. Now, he says, get rooted and grounded and settled. Turn with me over to Matthew, if you will. Matthew chapter 7. It's important that we abide in the vine, stay close to Jesus. Like I said, that tree's got roots. It draws its nutrients from the ground. God sends rain. God sends sun. God does all the stuff to give that ground the nutrients to make those berries come on that tree that we picked yesterday. You see, I couldn't make those berries. That's a God thing, the reason those berries come on there. Really, it's a God thing. I mean, a doggone tree is just made out of wood, sitting there with limbs hanging off of it, and it ain't doing nothing. You prune the thing back at a certain time of the year, and you go back out there in a few months, and there's berries hanging all over that thing. That's a God thing. And he started that stuff in the Garden of Eden. He planned for us to live that way. But storms are going to come in your life. Look at what it says in Matthew 7, verse 24. Let me find my place. Yeah. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken unto him a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it fell, and great was the fall thereof. And y'all have heard me share many a time, the greatest test that we ever had in the world was when our daughter died. I don't wish that on anybody in this world. That is the greatest pain that a parent can have, is to bury one of their children. And I remember being angry with God. I remember saying, God, I don't. If this is what happens to your kids, that's exactly what I said. God, if this is what happened to your kids, I don't want anything else to do with you. Now, I thought I was rooted, and I thought I was grounded, and I thought I was settled. But there are pains and hurts. There's storms that come, and some storms the wind blows harder than others. Had a storm last Saturday. Like I said, a light bolt of lightning come in. I shared it this morning. Knocked out all kind of stuff and appliances in the house. Had another storm to come through today, but the storm that come through today wasn't near as severe as the one that came through last Saturday. It didn't do as much damage. What I'm trying to tell you is children, you're going to have storms that come into life that's going to bring damage to you. Some won't, but some storms will. And your outcome is going to determine if you're rooted and grounded, if you're settled, if you're abiding in the vine and you're standing on the rock of the right foundation, it determines how you're going to weather those storms. Being a Christian, get this, is not a pain-free ride. You'll face rejection. You'll lose friends. You'll be misunderstood. I have people that misunderstand what I'm trying to say and never ask for an explanation of what I meant. And their enemy's mind for life. Not on my part. It's on their part because that's the way they wanted it. They misunderstood. But listen. When the trumpet sounds, there's going to be a clearing of the air of all misunderstandings. And people are going to be amazed that of people that they held a grudge against for 40 or 50 years. They held a grudge against them and come to find out they took it the wrong way, and the person that said it didn't even intend it to be that way. Or either somebody else told a lie on them and they hated them because they believed the lie. And that's why I said, listen, always, y'all are the cream of the crop. Listen to me. If you think somebody in this church or any church, at work, wherever, if you think they've got something against you, go to them. If you hear something about them, don't go out and repeat it. Go to them. Get the understanding. And a lot of times you'll find out that you heard it in a different way than they meant it. And if you let them explain it to you, because if you're holding a grudge and you don't forgive, what does the Bible say happens? The Father in heaven will not forgive you. Well, I thought every time I went to God and asked Him for forgiveness, He would forgive me. He will. But if you hold an ought against your brother, He won't. That's plain. And that's part of being rooted and grounded and settled. Goes all the way down to you young people. In school, you're old enough now to have spats and fights. Give me five. In school with little girls, especially over little boys. Two little girls like the same little boy. And man, they can get riled up over that stuff. And we laugh about it when they're young, but they learn when they're young they need to let go of offenses even young. Because, see, if you're born again, you're old enough to get saved, you're old enough to be accountable for what you do. Amen? See, all you young people that's given your heart to Christ and been saved, you're now being held accountable for what you do. Not your parents. You are. Because you have decided to give your heart to Jesus Christ, and you've understood right from wrong. Amen? So what do we want to do? We want to be rooted, grounded, and settled. We want to stay on the right foundation. That causes some effort from us. And we're going to weather the storms. And then beware, some people will tear you down instead of building you up. Look at what verse 8 says. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Well, I'm on the wrong place. Let me go back to Colossians. All right, Colossians chapter 2. All right, Colossians chapter 2. Verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. So if you don't fit in some people's mold and their rules and their traditions, folks, they'll come and they'll tear you down. There's denominations at war against each other right now. There's Christian denominations that just flat dislike other Christian people because they don't believe exactly like they do. I want to tell you something. I believe that God has made different. God didn't make different denominations. He knew this was going to happen. God had two denominations, Jews and Gentiles. That was it in the Bible. Jews and Gentiles. All this other stuff was made by man. And God knew that was going to happen. But listen, if the holiness people believe in salvation by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, they're good. If the Baptist people believe in salvation by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that's good. Now, the Baptist people and the holiness people will kill each other over tongues and this and that and the other. Amen? Hey, y'all just a bunch of crazy holy rollers. Y'all, I don't want to go to church with y'all. And that bunch over there ain't got the Holy Ghost in them. Bless God, they don't speak in tongues. Bless God, they ain't going to heaven. That bunch of dried up heathen mascots of a Christian. And God is sitting on his throne like, Jesus, would you bring me an aspirin? Rooted and grounded and settled. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I mean, that's the way we are. And then there sits the Methodist. Well, if they ain't sprinkled, they all going to hell. And then here's another bunch. Well, if they're not baptized in Jesus' name only, they ain't going to heaven. Amen? Listen. The way you get, when you get baptized, isn't it after salvation? Is God going to take away your salvation over some words that said in your baptism? If he does, then salvation is by works. And the Bible says you're saved by grace, lest any man should boast. You're not by your works, you're saved by grace. I guarantee you this. God is not going to kick anybody out of heaven that's been born again by the word that is said over them at a baptism. And if you believe that, you've been duped. And you're going to help keep the feud going. Now, don't go and try to change them, people. Don't go tell them they're wrong. And don't go. Listen, they're going to believe what they want to believe. You know what I'm going to do? I ain't going to their church and tell them that. I'll tell you what I'm going to do when I see them on the street. I'm going to love them. If I'm in a big group meeting with them at the school football field, I'm going to love them. And I'm certainly not going to judge them because I know what measure I judge. I will be judged back. And I don't want to be too hard on people. And besides that, a lot of us want to do the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. It's not ours. And if you think they're wrong and if you think they're going to go to hell by the words that said over them, then you pray for them that God will show them the right way. And also while you're praying for them, say, Lord, if I'm wrong, show me the right way. Ah, bless God, this is good preaching. Thank you, Brother Tom. Amen. It is. Other people will tear you down. Jesus dealt with them in Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 9. And you read it in your spare time. Go ahead and read it. And Jesus talked about they keep all the rules and the regulations of men. And he tells them, he said, In one place, he told him, he said, on the inside, you're white as sepulchers, but on the outside, you're white as sepulchers, but on the inside, you is dead men's bones. You keep all the traditions of your denomination. You keep all that, and everybody else is wrong. He says, but you're dried up, and it ain't nothing to you. That's what he said to them. He told the scribes and the Pharisees that. Well, we hard on each other. Good Lord. Whew. It's amazing. The things that people fight over most of the time is not spiritual anyway. I remember being in a church, and I was pastoring it up Mississippi. They were about to fight over whose kid was going to cut the cemetery and get to make the money. This family's grandchildren have been cut in the cemetery. I wish to God they'd have dug them all up and moved them. I'm really... over who's going to get that $30 to cut that cemetery. And I remember going out there and got the young people fired up in the church, and God started moving, and bless God, I was ignorant, had never pastored a church before. God started moving, the youth started coming, teenagers started coming, young people started coming. We went out there on Sunday afternoon and was playing softball in a cemetery. I found out that was a no-no. And somebody let me know, well, you out there playing softball in the cemetery. I said, ain't nobody complaining about it out there yet. He said, well, we complaining. And I said, look, do you want this church to grow? A lot of them people, we ain't running over graves. Uncle Nebob's grave, his headstone ain't third base. And Sister Amy, she ain't second base. And old Elmer, the old church heathen, he ain't first base. We ain't messing with nobody. We're over here in the area of the cemetery where ain't nobody buried. I remember Danny, our oldest boy, one day out there he rounded second base and he run through a yellow jacket nest. I've never seen that kid round third base the fastest in my life. And I was catching and they throwed the ball home and he just said, zoom, I seen the streak come. I said, boy, what happened to you? And directly I seen him yellow jacket going, right behind him. And I took off with him. God was moving. People were coming. People were getting saved. God, man's services, God would move. I'd never get to preach. The Spirit of God would just move. People was at the altar crying and getting saved. People were getting healed. And I'm talking about in the Baptist church, people were getting healed. People were getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. I didn't dare let any of them know that I spoke in tongues. I was a Baptist preacher. I spoke in tongues. Still do. I don't make a show out of it. I know y'all want me to rip off a few words now, but I listen, most of us need to control the tongue that we have got. But I do. I pray in the Spirit. Bible says pray in the Spirit when your understanding is not. Pray in the Spirit. So, Brother Tom, how did I get that? Pray and ask God for it. That's what I did. I'll tell you where I received that, right down here on Celeste Road. I pray and said, God, I want that gift of tongues. I come out by the old grape vineyard down here where your grandpa and them lived, Hunter. I come out through that road on that mail route every morning. I was praying, God, give me that gift. God, give me that gift. And I got on Celeste Road, and bless God, I was went down through there one day, and back in those days I had a CB in my old mail truck. In case I got stuck, I could call somebody. I started praying and said a few words, and the devil hit me immediately and said, you sound like an idiot. What are you going to do if somebody hears you? They think you're crazy anyway. What if somebody heard you speaking in tongues? And immediately I reached to grab my CB receiver to see if the button had been on accidentally. I said, whew, thank God my button wasn't on. And I went on. And listen to this. The next day I got back, and I don't know why, but in the same place, I said, God, when are you going to give me that gift? This is what God said. I gave it to you yesterday. And you let the devil talk you out of it. I said, thank you, Lord. And I said a few words, and I said a few words, and I've been saying a few ever since. And this is what the Lord told me. Because I was ashamed that I'd be made fun of. And this is what the Lord told me. He said, son, you could be born blind and ask for healing. He said, I can heal you, and you will be healed where you can see. But you can never see until you open your eyes. And he said, I can give you that gift, but you'll never operate in it until you open your mouth. Quit being ashamed. And I know the Holy Spirit said, he's a Baptist, he can't receive that. I was a Baptist, I'm not anymore, but he's a Baptist, he can't receive that. Well, I did. Now, I didn't run up to Baptist church and give her Roshan die. I'd have heard about three shots and y'all have told me out of there. Dead as a hammer. But when God gives you something, you need to have the wisdom to know where to do it at and when to do it. I studied that thing. Paul said, let it be done and not let it be over two or three. He said, let it be done in order. And Paul says, I do it. I'll do it more than everybody. Any of them, I speak in tongues more than a whole bunch of them does. He says, but you need order with it. And I studied that thing over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I read it, study it sometimes. But it's good to be able to pray and the doggone devil don't know what you're saying. It's Some of you looking at me like a dying calf in a hailstorm. But I'm telling you, God gave me that gift. And I still pray in it. Stay away from people that try to pick you apart and find faults and talk about the faults of other people. Listen to me. Spell. Stay. S-T-A-Y. A-W-A-Y. Stay away from them. Stay away. Why? They'll pick you apart. You'll never grow as long as you listen to other people condemn you and condemn everybody else. You seek God for yourself. Philippians 4:8, chapter 4, verse 8 talks about think on these things, things that are pure, things that are just. Think on those things. If there be any praise or be any glory for God, think on those things. Think on those things. And sometimes isn't that hard to do? But if you want to stay rooted, if you want to stay grounded, if you want to be settled, if you want to stand on the rock, you want to abide in the vine, you got to stay away from that stuff. What is that? That's called discipline. I've learned. And it took me to the end of me being a pastor to learn there's certain people I will stay away from. People that pull me down. People that cause me stress. And they're hard-headed and they won't listen. Now, I let people stress me until I found out they're too hard-headed to listen, and I quit letting them stress me. I wish I'd have learned that 30 years ago. I still had white, black hair. I used to be good-looking. One of my kids was over. Bree Lynn was over the house the other night, and her and Martha were looking at old pictures. She said, "Good gracious, Pawpaw had real black hair." Now, just what was that about? And then, lastly, turn over to Ephesians with me. We got to abound in thanksgiving. I was on the phone with somebody this afternoon. And I was singing a song to him. And this is what I was singing. I'm going to lay down my burden down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. I'm going to lay down my burden down by the riverside. I ain't going to study war no more. 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 And I can't sing, but I was singing to him. I thank y'all for no criticism. Amen. Amen. A man with hearing aids told me that. I seen you turn it down. All right. I love you anyway. I went the other day to try to get me some. They wouldn't give them to me. Amen. That's true. I said, "You can hear fine." I said, "That's the things I don't want to hear." They said, "Well, we can't give you hearing aids for that." But anyway, I'm laying down stuff. Stressful things. People that pull me away from God. People that frustrate me and will not listen to reason, don't even call me. Nah. Those people, mark it down, write it down. They will be frustrated 20 years from now the same way they are today. Their condition will never change. It'll always be. Until they get rooted, grounded, settled, get on the foundation of God and abide in the vine, they're going to always have this mess flowing through their lives. And if you listen to it and you let them drag you in it, you're going to always have it flowing through your life. Now, you can do what you want to with that. And I'm going to do what I want to with it. And I ain't going to live in that rot. And I ain't going to live in that stench. What a lot of them need is just flat-footed out and get saved. They need salvation. Salvation makes a difference. But he says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine. Some folks has tempted me. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual singing or songs, and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Amen, Brooklyn. I'll forgive you for saying that about the white hair. Amen. But listen, I want to praise Him. I want joy and peace in my life. Do you? I want joy, and I want peace. And the way I get it is how? Being rooted, grounded, settled, standing on the right rock, having a foundation under me when the storm comes. I'm abiding in the vine so I can stay on that salvation. And I'm just praising God in the joy and giving Him thanks for the blessings that He's put in my life. That's the way to live. If you'll do that, you're not going to be trouble-free, but you will have victory in your troubles. Now, Tom, I want you to come on down. I know sometimes when I'm praying in the Spirit, you know, the devil, I said this morning, he got kicked out of heaven. But he still runs back and forth from here to heaven accusing us. He's the accuser of the brother. We don't only get it from other denominations, but we get it from the devil. But God says, whenever he comes, devil, my son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for his sins. I'm witness that he has accepted the shed blood of Jesus Christ and been born again. And devil, I just want to tell you, going back down there and mess with somebody else, because his sins are under the blood. And by the way, I know exactly where his name is. Let me get this book of life out. Page 12,304. Tom Dees. Case closed. Can you see the devil leaving the throne of God? Have you ever seen a dog scolded, got on to, and he leaves with his tail tucked between his legs? That's a sad sight, isn't it? And I can see the devil just with his tail tucked between his legs. His little scheme didn't work. God put him in his place. you're here tonight, and you've never asked God to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, you've never asked for the fullness of the Spirit, and you're saved, and you want that, just come down here and we'll pray for you to receive that. And if you're like me, you wanted that gift of praying in the Spirit so the devil couldn't understand it. Can you imagine you praying in the Spirit and the devil, when he makes his visit up there to accuse somebody, he says, God, what was he talking about? And God says, I'm not telling you. That's between me and him. And you don't have to speak in tongues to get to heaven. You have to be born again to get to heaven. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm not trying to push anything on you. One thing it is, it's good to have it, that prayer life, whenever you don't know what to pray for. And I won't do like some folks do, because I've been done that way before. I'm not going to tell you to repeat after me, because anybody can do that. The Holy Spirit is the giver. And if he can give it to you, and he did it to me out here on Celeste Road by myself, he can give it to you. I'm not going to tell you to repeat after me, because I've seen that done a million times, and everybody repeated after the preacher, and they said, he's got it, he's got it. And then about 3 months from now, they're living like they always been living. That's not it. When God, it's real when God gives it to you. It's real. It's not repeating some preacher's group of deacons around you. It's not. That's just the honest truth. You're here tonight. You say, I just want to, the Baptists used to say back when I was a part of their group, we want to recommit our life. I don't know. I don't understand all that recommitting thing. I understand what they mean. But I think I'd like to hear people say, I just want to come and walk in the Spirit. God help me to say no to the flesh. God help me to stay rooted and grounded and settled. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. That'll be the prayer that I pray over you tonight if anybody comes to this altar and wants prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, you lay on the hearts of the people what you want them to do. In your name I pray, amen.